This is a continuing saga on the Word for Life radio ministry. Been listening to Lynette Yowsey tell us about giving her daughter, Veronica Murray, up for adoption right at birth. And the awesome story of Lynette's salvation. And then the next year, at the age of 7, her daughter Veronica listening to some tapes of Christian stories with music that she loved. And she heard about Jesus and his love for her. If you've been listening to these broadcasts, you know that finally at the age of 30, Veronica decided, I want to meet my mom. So Veronica, we dropped our story last time as you received a phone call from the adoption agency saying, we've talked to your mother, and you left us there. Well, fill us in. What was the result of that conversation?
When the liaison called me and said, I've talked to your mother, she said, this is an unusual situation. And of course, my first thought was, oh, great. What does that mean?
Sure.
Unusual situation usually is not something I want to happen. So she said, your mother has kept in touch with us over the years as she has moved. So we knew right where she was. It was good, unusual, mm-hmm. And it's funny, I'm expecting the worst all the time.
Right.
I think I was just trying to prepare myself. So we began the process. The way that they had it set up was we had to exchange letters.
Mm.
And I think it's very wise the way that they did it. It was slower than I wanted, but I'm glad that they forced me at least to take the time to do it slow. We had to exchange letters back and forth mm-hmm. with no revealing information.
Oh.
So I couldn't say my name or where I lived or anything that would be identifiable to someone else. And then I would send the letter to the agency. They would look it over, make sure I wasn't trying to sneak something by, and then they would send it to her.
Okay.
And then she would do the same.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we did that. We exchanged like 3 letters. I think it was in the period of 6 months. And the first one was just becoming familiar with each other.
Right.
And, of course, she had a lot of questions in her letter to me. And so I took a little while. I think I might have taken 2-3 weeks to write that letter. And I ended up back in Nebraska when I was writing this letter. And it was good for me to do that because family was a part of this. They were more than happy for me that she was wanting to find me.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember asking my mom and dad if they would want to meet her. And the response of my dad was, yes, can we meet her now?
Wow.
And I was just thrilled at that because I didn't know how
sure.
30 years later a lot of my family would feel.
Right.
So it was tough, but it was good. And it brought a lot of things to closure because now I was going to give that information to her and always looking forward to that. But now it was here. And it was almost like I felt like I was in a dream.
And there was always the possibility that after you shared the answers to these questions, that may be it.
Yes.
That you may
for
never
her,
hear from her
for
again.
For me, we both dealt with that we didn't know we would receive those letters. And I remember Veronica talking about that her husband was like, Veronica would run to the bedroom to read her letter. And her husband was like, I want to know what it says.
I would lock the door.
And
oh,
so, you know, these letters were like, they were just heart pounding.
Oh, yeah.
And as we received them, and I do remember initially feeling it was so important what I said to her at the beginning, you know, and I wanted her to know that I did not regret having her.
Yes.
I regretted that I couldn't raise her. I couldn't keep her. That was my regret because I always felt like the ball was really in her court on rolling things or accepting me and my decision.
Now, did you share with her right away about the Lord?
I did. I felt that was very important. I went through my life chronologically and that I had married, but that before that, I came to a place where I became a born-again Christian. And then the letter changed after that because everything in my life changed.
Right.
And I felt like that was a good way to say it. And I explained to her that what a born-again Christian was to me was that one who believed that Christ died for their sins and that you can know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven because you have accepted him as your Savior and dying for your sins. So she heard that. And I didn't know really how she would respond to that, but I felt that was important to do.
And you responded how? What was your first thought when you read the letter?
Honestly, when I read the born-again Christian part, I got scared because my idea of a born-again Christian was different than what I've come to understand a born-again Christian is. I immediately had a fanatical impression, you know, the type of things that you see on the news or, you know.
Yeah, the media doesn't portray a very good picture of a born-again Christian.
No, it sure doesn't. Mm-hmm. So I was nervous. I didn't know what she was going to do then. I was actually kind of hoping that we would have the religion part of it, because, I mean, religion really is still all I really have a grasp of.
Right.
That we would have that in common, at least. I thought we might.
Okay.
Just because of the way that I was adopted.
Right.
I thought we might, so that was a little disconcerting to me, because now we don't have that in common, so...
Because that religion doesn't necessarily use the terms born-again Christian, does it?
No, it does not.
Yeah.
But we kept writing back and forth, and... getting to know each other, really. And I really believed from the Lord that he showed me, and he showed my husband, too, that we are going to wait on the Lord for the timing of anything like that, because she did tell me she was still going to the Church of Faith that I grew up in, and that's what they were raising their children.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord was good. He gave me a lot of peace about that, and we didn't know what was ahead for us. But we then decided that it was time to talk, that we were ready for that, and so we could pass a letter now that had the information of where we lived and phone numbers.
Yeah.
And her letter arrived to me first, and my letter arrived to her the same day, but she gets her mail late. So as I get that letter, my whole family is there, and they were all sitting around, and we open it up. And when she wrote me the first time, she said that they moved from Nebraska two states away. So, you know, geographically, where could that be? It could be about anywhere, because Nebraska is like the heart of the U.S. So we thought she could be in Wisconsin. She could even be in Wisconsin. That's almost two states away, you know. But as we opened the letter, found out where she lived, and it was Arizona, we went, Arizona? That's like diagonally across from us. We just couldn't believe it. But I called a friend who had been through a similar situation as me, because it was like, what do I do? What do I do? And she says, call her. And my husband's handing me the phone. Call her. You have the phone number right in front of you, and he's got the phone in front of me to do that. So I did call, and I caught her in a meeting. She is an online teacher, and I caught her right in the meeting, and she said she knew who it was, and I let her say a few words about that.
Looking back, I should have just left the meeting. I mean, there's really no way to prepare for something like that.
No.
So I had a feeling that she would call. I just didn't know how I would feel when she did. And up until this point of writing letters, I really had only positive feelings toward my adoption. But as I got to know my mom and her life, I started to wrestle with a lot of things.
I see. Because it was different from you.
Right.
Yeah.
The emotion for me wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Up to that point, because I was a baby. I had a life where my needs were met. I didn't know anything else. So, you know, she was 17, so she had to wrestle with this for those 30 years in a different way than I did. So I was shocked. I didn't see all of those feelings coming, because I hadn't had them prior to that.
Right.
I think at that point when we started talking and connecting was where I really started to struggle and not know how to go forward. I didn't know what to do with the feelings. I didn't know how to handle it. I mean, I didn't even know what to say on the phone. So I just took the next step, and we talked about not unimportant things, but just nothing too deep for quite a while. Just getting to know each other more on a surface level, I think.
Yes, we talked every day for about 15 months. The first night, I think we talked 2 to 3 hours. And God was immediately in the picture of our conversations, though, and I can remember her saying that she felt that this is exactly what she needed, because God was in the picture. And as we began to converse that way, that was always the foundation, which was really sweet, because I didn't know where she was really spiritually.
Exactly. Yeah.
I didn't know if she was a believer. And so we surprised her with me coming down there. Her husband was a part of that. And we surprised her, and I met her the night before her 30th birthday. I had the privilege of meeting her adopted mother on her 30th birthday and spend a week down there with them. And then she came up by us in November then, and she got to meet my family.
Okay.
And so that's where I really believe the Lord started just showing her what true Christianity was. Because as she entered our home, and then the big thing was going to our church. And she didn't know what she felt like about going to our church, but she came to our church, and I didn't want to really say too much, but she wanted to come, and I didn't want to push it. I didn't want to say, how did you like it, or anything like that. I wanted to just let the Lord work. And she came that first time with us, and I believe she thought, wow, these people love God, and they love each other.
Uh-huh.
And there's actually interaction.
Right.
And I think that was kind of new to her to see that.
Never been in a church like that, had you?
No, I hadn't. And I went, I mean, I had been in other churches. I had experienced other things before, other than the church that I grew up in, just with friends and other, you know, situations. So I knew that church was a tremendous part of their life. And for me to get to know them, I really felt like that had to be part of what I got to see.
Right.
And I was fine with that. It's funny because I had plans, but God had better plans. My plan was just to go and just to get a head knowledge of what they do. Well, I go to church with them on that Sunday that I came up here. So it was about a month after we met, a little less. And we hadn't really talked too much specifically, and I kind of always wondered why, if this is so much a part of her life, why isn't she constantly questioning me? But I didn't want her to constantly question me.
So you're very grateful.
Yes, I'm thankful that she didn't push me or do anything of that nature. I just wondered why not. So I go to church, and I'm sitting there, and just the way that people interacted, they knew each other, they cared about each other, I felt like they knew me already. They were hugging me, and I've never felt so welcomed in my life. And that was just the beginning. That was before the service even started.
Oh, wow.
So we go and sit in the service, and I didn't know what to expect. I had no idea what kind of church this was.
Right.
I did not know what I was going to hear or see, but I was there.
Your guard was up, probably.
It was, but I was very comfortable with them.
Okay.
I trusted them. I felt like they had already established a rapport with me, so I felt more at ease than probably I would have been otherwise, but I was definitely on guard. And then I heard the gospel preached for the first time in my life, and I was never the same.
Well, you've left us right at the edge again because we've run out of time. We've got to do one more session. Because to hear the gospel for the first time at the age of 30 is an awesome opportunity. And to see the smile on your face, Veronica, and just sense the joy that you have in your spirit, it is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And God has done it for you.
Yes.
And my friend, if you're listening to us this morning, I trust that God has done it for you. If He hasn't, His arms are wide open, and He is ready to pardon you, regardless of what you've done and where you've been. You can turn to Christ, repenting of your sin, believing that Jesus died on the cross for you, and your life can change today. Join us next time for the conclusion of this wonderful story.